Welcome to Interviews at RKG Blog, bringing you stories from interesting people in online marketing.
Hello, everyone. This is Alan Rim Kaufman of the Rim Kaufman Group, and this afternoon I'm here with Hamilton Davidson, the executive director of the relatively new trade association, the American Catalog Mailers Association. How's it going, Hamilton?
It's going great, Alan. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what is the American Catalog Mailers Association?
We are a new 501c6 trade association registered in Washington, D.C. in April 2007 to provide advocacy for catalog companies and any supplier that has a significant economic interest in the future of catalog mailing and catalog success generally.
Why do the catalogers need a trade association? How come, you know, National Retail Federation or Direct Marketing Association, what's new and different about ACMA?
Well, there's some great associations that have catalogers among their members, but all of them are broad-based associations that can't focus on catalog-specific issues. And sometimes there's issues or opportunities that come up that need advocacy on behalf of catalogs that really are opposed, in some cases diametrically opposed, to the selfish best interests of other membership groups of those broad-based existing organizations. It's pretty hard for them to take a strong position when they have different membership interests in different camps.
You guys have been pretty busy since your founding. Can you describe some of the things that the ACMA has done for catalogers so far?
It has been a very intense time. We have established our operations and our association and all the back office requirements that has. We have built our membership to 60 companies strong, and it's continuing to grow. And we have established ourselves as a credible voice in the national postal policy debate, meeting with a number of people at the U.S. Postal Service, including the Postmaster General, who I had a great visit with about a month and a half ago, the Postal Regulatory Commission, who actually spent an entire day with us touring through a catalog operation and learning about the catalog business model, and testifying in front of Congress, which we did in front of the House Oversight Committee, which is the group that is in charge of postal matters in Washington.
And any bottom line effect of all these meetings and all these conversations?
Well, there's just been an announcement of a rate adjustment by the USPS, which was, to our sense, very favorable to catalogers. There was about half the rate levied on everyone else that was placed on catalogers, which I think is an important signal to the catalogers that the USPS understands the economic duress that they're under right now. As a matter of fact, I specifically asked Jack Potter to send the catalog industry a strong signal in this next rate adjustment. And while I fully appreciate it doesn't begin to address the magnitude of the horrendous increase that we got effective 2007, it is a good start, and things are starting to come together within the Postal Service to understand that they need to manage our segment of mail differently if they're going to keep us growing in the mail. And you know, we've actually been a huge component of their volume growth over the past 10 years or so, and the USPS desperately needs additional growth. So it's a good alignment between the catalogers and the Postal Service. But they've got to manage us in a different way than we've been managed heretofore.
That's interesting. You send out a really great email of what your trade association is doing, and in the email you sent out on the 14th, I guess yesterday, you had an interesting quote where you say, most see rate setting, postal rate setting, as a zero-sum game. What do you mean by that?
Well, each mailing interest has historically participated in dialogue with the Postal Service and until recently in litigation before the PRC, the former Postal Rate Commission, now called the Postal Regulatory Commission, to try to carve up the pie of USPS overhead to different rate classes. The United States Postal Service is 70-80% fixed cost, or fixed overhead, as we say in the business community. In postal speak, it's called institutional costs. And it's always a bit of a contention as to where those institutional costs are going to be allocated. Does first class pay the freight? Catalogers pay the freight? The standard mail in general pay the freight? So each group of mailing interest, and there must be 30 or 40 of them, has historically gotten involved to advocate for their class of mail and make an argument that the greater share of institutional costs should be borne by other mailers and other mail groups. So in postal rate setting, it's been historically a zero-sum game, and some have thought that with the passage of postal reform or the Postal Accountability and Enhancement Act, that was passed in December of 2006, that would no longer be the case, that rates would be only governed by market factors. But there's still a very strong cost component. The law says that each class of mail must bear its own costs, its direct costs, as well as its fair apportionment of institutional costs. So we still have a little bit of a vestige of a zero-sum game. Plus, there's certainly opportunity to get services and enhancements and policies and technical regulations that are favorable to catalog mailers or, for that matter, any other mail group.
I think it's fantastic that you and your association are up on the Hill fighting for catalog postage rates. I feel like for decades, the industry has kind of, the catalog industry in specific, has rolled over on its belly and let the postal rate setting folks just trash them. Hasn't been as well represented as some of the other mailers. Beyond postage, though, what's ACMA doing in other areas of cataloging? What about catalog choice and the industry-wide opt-out provisions and some of those initiatives?
We've been very active in Do Not Mail. About 60, 90 days ago, our board of directors asked us to form a task force to study Do Not Mail from the cataloger perspective. And while there's lots of people out there active in that issue on behalf of the mailing industry, nobody was really taking a cataloger-only focus or cut at what some of the issues are. And I think that's been no more dramatically highlighted than by the incredibly rapid growth of this group called Catalog Choice. We decided we were going to first study all of the people, all the major players that were in the space. We've had extensive discussions with DMA and Mail Moves America, but we've also had a lot of discussions with Catalog Choice. We want to know who they are, what they're trying to accomplish, what their source of funding is, what the technology is, and start understanding some of the messages that they're sending out to the consumer community.
What have you learned?
If you've been following the blogs, it's been very vociferous. There's lots of internet posts about Catalog Choice and the direct marketing industry. What we've learned is that the DMA just say no to third-party suppression position is not a sustainable one from the cataloger's perspective. As a matter of fact, it puts catalogers squarely in the middle, because if the DMA, if Catalog Choice doesn't get a catalog merchant to opt out according to the members that have registered for Catalog Choice, and that consumer continues to receive a particular title, that consumer isn't going to be mad at DMA, is not going to be mad at Catalog Choice or ACMA. That consumer is going to be mad and take it out on that catalog title and catalog brand. And that represents the potential for real declines in revenue as groups of consumers start to get active and vote with their wallet.
Good stuff. And when you say that you've spent time researching researching this issue, my sense is you guys moved pretty quickly. That wasn't a two-year study or a year-long study, was it?
No, we actually have come to some conclusions, and we're actively involved in trying to get a resolution that suits the entire industry. And I'm not going to comment publicly on what that is right now, but I am cautiously optimistic that we're going to be able to resolve this in a business-like and reasonable manner. We think that the approach of everyone can be brought together to find a realistic solution. Catalogers don't want to see consumers get catalogs that consumers don't want to receive. We think it is reasonable to try to work to eliminate the waste of unwanted catalogs out of the system. But we also are concerned about some of the messaging and some of the public relations postures that are being taken by a variety of groups, and we want to see that moderated, because we can win the battle of Do Not Mail and lose the war in the court of public opinion for the hearts and souls and wallets of the American consumer. And, you know, nobody's out there telling the story about the impact, the positive environmental impact of cataloging. The National Warehouse Direct to End User is a very ecologically sound business model. The fact that catalog paper is able to be recycled 6 or 7 additional times before it's landfilled as tissue paper to fill a very human need and requirement is not being told. The fact that catalogers have done a lot, including the reduction of the basis weight of their paper and other things to reduce their carbon footprint in the environment, none of these things are being told. And the dialogue out there is really one-sided, and that concerns us.
I applaud you guys for getting involved and moving so quickly. I think speed's really of essence. If you look at how quickly the National Do Not Call list was adopted and became basically universal in a matter of months, if not weeks, shows that you know, we have to support nimble organizations that can actually speak for the industry and do so quickly. You guys got a really nice endorsement from NMOA, the New England Mail Order Association, recently.
Yes, we did. We were very appreciative of NMOA's time and attention. They have, as a board, been actively following what we're doing. Actually, some of our members and even a director or two are in common with NMOA. So they've had a good opportunity to have a bird's eye view on our work and what we're trying to accomplish. And the NMOA endorsement was an important one for us. It gave us an opportunity to point to a third party who had done due diligence and could certify that our intent is honest and our work to date is effective. There are a number of NMOA members that are not ACMA members, and we're hoping that their endorsement will change that. NMOA does a lot of great work in education and outreach and networking, but NMOA clearly is not in the advocacy arena, and as indicated, they don't plan to get in the advocacy arena, and their board has come to the conclusion that the catalogers really need an advocacy organization that's out there looking after them.
Okay, so give us the pitch. If catalogers are listening out there and they want to get involved with ACMA, what do they do first?
Well, all they need is to fill out our membership form and sign up. Soon on our website, they'll be able to put a credit card in. Today, we'll need to get a check from them. And the cost of membership amounts to 0.25% of their 2006 posted spend. This most recent rate case decision from the USPS that we had a great deal to do to influence represents, at least for all catalogers, conservatively stating, at least a 1% improvement on the rates that they would have otherwise gotten. So my calculation is that it's better than a 30% internal rate of return on the dues investment, and we're just getting started. We have the ability to affect the environment that controls cataloger bottom lines, but we must have the industry support to be able to continue that aggressive work.
That's a tremendous pricing model. And the URL is catalogmailers.org if folks want to check that out. Hamilton, thanks so much for taking the time today. Keep fighting the good fight.
Well, Alan, thanks for your support and interest, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. More online at rkgblog.com/interviews.